When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard. Kyle Quinn is behind the glass. You guys on the phone lines. We got a lot to get to today. Great prize to give away. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. We're going to have a guest, Harry Douglas from ESPN Radio, will join us. His take on the Eagles as minicamp begins. We'll also hear from Nick Sirianni. First press conference since A.J. Brown departed the franchise last week. And how about those Phillies? Continue to win. Christopher Sanchez, another excellent effort. Adolis Garcia, Odalis, as some would call him, with another home run. Good night for the Phillies.
Starting to warm up.
Here we go. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. You know, it's a sad day for my clan today.
Hugh?
Because what? Wait a minute. Let me finish. Because today is the last update that they're going to get for Destiny, and then it's kind of like it's a wrap. So me and my clan mates, we're going to get on today, and we're going to play the video games for like the last time. We're going to just like one last hoorah for the clan.
Yeah. I'm actually glad this is the last time we have to talk about this. Because
one last hoorah for the clan.
Stop, please. Stop. Please. So what, you can't play a new game, though?
Well, no, because it's like, you know, we've been playing this game for some years, man. It's been like a 10-year run. And so today is the last day, the last update they're going to give for the game. And then they're going to kind of like do something different. So it's like a sad, sad day.
I don't know what to say. I'm sorry.
Like, I don't know. No, it's fine.
What's the reaction when the video game stops updating?
I haven't been playing that much anyway because I've been doing my 3D printing.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, been a little busy.
All right, well, the end of an era there for the what's called Destiny?
Destiny,
and,
yes.
And your clan, yeah. At the end of an era. Hopefully not the end of an era for the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. So he's going to speak today. And I heard, you know, as we were driving in today, discussion the morning show was having about his culpability last season, right? You know, how much we kind of now, in retrospect, blame Nick Sirianni for last year not going well. Look, we can unpack that. We'll talk about it. The AJ stuff, obviously, is it factored in and the job he did. But I'll say this as we start the show. It's the beginning of minicamp, mandatory minicamp for 2 days with the Eagles. Then they'll have a little break, and we'll come back, and it'll be the start of training camp. And, Hugh, I think I said something to this effect last week, and it's amazing that it's gone like this. We have talked very little about Nick Sirianni this offseason. Very little. It's the story's been about the quarterback. But about the receiver, the quarterback, the receiver. That has been the story of the offseason. Now we know the receiver's gone, and they have a brand new offensive coordinator to try to get the quarterback to play, you know, as well as he can. But the head coach is kind of just flown under the radar, like he did for a lot of last season. And here's how I feel right now as we start minicamp and start the summer with Nick Sirianni. He did not do a good job last year. That's just the bottom line. He didn't. And if you unpack it, two out of the last 3 years, I don't think Nick Sirianni has done a great job. Now, the middle year, they won the Super Bowl, which makes this complicated, you know, this whole thing very complicated. But as we enter 2026, the Eagles are not a normal franchise. They're a franchise with huge expectations and expectations of championships. And I view it like this. I don't need Nick Sirianni to win the Super Bowl again to keep his job. That's an extremely and probably ridiculous high bar. But he needs to make the playoffs. And if the Eagles have a not good season, a mediocre season, if they miss the postseason, I would move on. I'd put him on the hot seat. To me, he's on the hot seat as we start this season. A couple things stand out to me. Number one, he's a culture guy. And last year, the culture went sideways. Jalen Carter gets thrown out of a game. Jalen Hurts, according to reports, wasn't even listening to the play call they sent into the huddle. And A.J. Brown obviously did whatever the hell he wanted for an entire season. So the culture, kind of on rocky ground, and that's supposed to be his big thing. He hired Kevin Petullo. That was his call. That was his guy. And clearly that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of penalties last year. They were sloppy. And you think about what they've done the last 5 or 6 years. It's been, in part, because the division has been pretty bad. And the Eagles have dominated the NFC East. I think we all see the NFC East is getting better. So if the Eagles struggle this year and we're like, well, the NFC East was better, well, then isn't it fair to say maybe they were winning it all those years under Sirianni because it was a weak division and now it got better and he can't do it? He's on the hot seat for me. He's done a nice job here in Philadelphia. He's a championship coach, all that stuff. But he has to have a better season because last year was not a good Nick Sirianni season. And, Hugh, I feel like we haven't talked much about it. Hugh, where do you come down on Sirianni? And do you put him on the hot seat to start the season?
You gave me a lot to unpack, but I'm going to start with this. No, I don't think he's on the hot seat, and I'm going to tell you why. I feel like because this season, with everything that has happened thus far, now it could change as we meander through this, but as of right now, I feel like it's more on the quarterback than it is the head coach, because the head coach falls in lockstep with what the Eagles want to do. At the end of the day, that's what Coach Sirianni does, because he's won the Super Bowl, and there were rumblings in that building that the quarterback was going renegade.
Mm-hmm. Well, but isn't he the head coach?
Well, and there's also rumblings in that building that at some point the quarterback didn't want to listen to anybody. So take that for what it is. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's the rumblings that were in the building. You know, you see Jalen, you see what he's trying to do. Doesn't feel that way, but the bottom line is that story was out there. So I feel like going into this season, with all of that being said, or with all that transpired last year, that they're going to be looking at the quarterback more so than the head coach. That's why the new offensive coordinator is in here. That's why, for the first time in a long time, it feels like Jalen has embraced this offense and come in with a new way of looking at things.
Yep.
It's been a little bit because I'm just reading the tea leaves, folks. I'm thinking about the last couple offensive coordinators that we've had, and Jalen really didn't sign off on them. He signed off on this one.
I don't believe that for a second. What do you mean signed off?
Okay.
He signed off because they told him, we're going to get rid of you if you don't play well.
Okay, like, but Joe, the bottom line is this.
I mean, like, signed off.
So this is going to be one of these
days. I just don't know what that means, he signed off.
Okay.
He said
he's excited about the offense.
Because he has no choice.
Okay, Joe, whatever.
Did you read that article from ESPN? They told us all the dirty laundry from the last couple of years. What do you mean he signed off?
Okay, whether, Joe, semantics.
Yeah.
He signed off on it. In the last couple coordinators that we had, he really wasn't that. He didn't warm up to him. Is it fair to say that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But I don't believe he's warmed up to this one. I believe he has no choice.
Okay, but in the eyes of the media, he has embraced this one more so than he's embraced the other two.
Okay.
I mean, but that's a fact. Whether he really is doing it or if he's playing the game or not,
okay.
He has endorsed this one publicly.
Sure. Okay.
He didn't endorse the other two publicly. That's the point that I'm making.
Okay.
And so I feel like he knows that he's in a situation, in a position where he's going to be under more scrutiny this year.
I agree with that.
So it's more so to me on Jalen than it is the head coach.
So I think, I feel similarly to you, but I don't think that means Nick Sirianni is safe no matter what happens here. Like to me, they are together, but they are separate. And I'll say this. You know, last time the Eagles moved on from a franchise quarterback, they also fired the head coach. I don't think they are separate as much as we think they are. Last, you know, we went through this 6 years ago where the quarterback's run ended here in Philadelphia. And if Jalen doesn't play well, I think it's obviously on the table. The quarterback's run ends again. But they also fired that head coach in Doug Peterson, who had won a Super Bowl, because they wanted a complete reset as they moved forward. So, Hugh, I understand your point, and I think I generally agree with you. This year is more on Jalen Hurts. He's got the spotlight more on him. But to me, that doesn't mean there's not a spotlight on Nick Sirianni. I have this question for everyone out there about Sirianni. What is he responsible for? We're saying he's not responsible for the quarterback. The quarterback does what he wants. Okay, he wasn't responsible for AJ Brown's behavior. He's no longer really responsible for anything offensively. No, I mean anything. Like him and Petullo, they were connected at the hip. Halfway through 24, or a quarter of the way through 24, they kind of reverted back to the old Sirianni Jalen offense to go win the Super Bowl with the running game. Brian Johnson was his guy on his staff. Sean Mannion came from a completely different place to bring in a completely different offense. So he's not responsible for the offense at all. He's not responsible for the defense, not even in outs. The culture here was not great last year. Like what, as we go through the season, how do we say Sirianni is doing a good job or a bad job? What is it about?
I think it's the culture.
Okay. Well, would you think it was good last year? Because it looked ugly.
I tell you what, I feel like, for the way that it broke down now, there's a lot more that goes on with this culture that we know nothing about. So for the little bit that leaked out that we do know about, I think they do a hell of a job. Because when you think about it like this, Joe, when you talk about NFL teams and some of the stuff that has gone on behind the scenes, I feel like Big Dom, Nick, Coach Sirianni, whomever it is, they do a great job of keeping most of their drama in-house.
But why is there so much drama?
It's that's mostly every NFL team. Now, some have more drama than others.
Yeah.
And, you know, some teams that have more success have more drama. But for a team that is as successful as the Eagles are, and, you know, the drama that they have or we interpret them that they're having, they keep it all in-house pretty good.
Did they? I mean, that story about Jalen Hurts was in-house? The AJ stuff was in-house?
Well, when you talk
last
about—
last year was all out of the house. You know, it was on the front lawn.
You know why I think that they do a good job of keeping it in-house? Because we don't know for sure what's true.
But that doesn't mean it's not— We see there's a mess on the front lawn. We don't know who made the mess.
It's just
that,
like,
house is messy. I can see that.
But it's the same to me as, say, you have a couple in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you hear—
where are you going with this?
No, I'm just saying. And you hear that they fight all the time.
Yeah. That's a good parallel.
But when you see them, they're in lockstep. They're in concert with one another.
But what I disagree with is, we saw last season, they didn't look in concert. Jalen Carter spit on a player and got thrown out of a game. A.J. Brown, the last 2 years, has made a spectacle of himself. And now we get the stories from them, by the way. And I'm not saying it's Sirianni, but someone over the Eagles, multiple people, 12 of them, have aired all the dirty laundry about how the quarterback doesn't listen to anybody. I'm just asking.
And with all of that dysfunction.
Because of Vic Fangio and Howie.
You ain't even let me finish.
Because I know you're going to say, I'm glad you said it. I know where you're going. You're going to say they still win.
They still won 11 games.
So if they win 7 this year, he stays?
If they win seven, that's a different conversation.
If they win 9 and miss the playoffs.
I think that they've amassed enough talent that if they run this offense the way that Coach Mannion wants it to run, they'll be a playoff contender. But I think so.
Well, contender really is different than a playoff team.
No, contender, like they're going to the playoffs.
If they miss the playoffs, does he stay?
I think it all depends on how they miss the playoffs. If the quarterback doesn't play well, I think they move on from the quarterback.
Okay, all right. We're going to have Harry Douglas on with us coming up at 11. He's an ESPN radio host, former NFL wide receiver. Here's what he said a couple days ago about Nick Sirianni and his take on the head coach.
If the Philadelphia Eagles don't make the playoffs in 2026, I don't feel like Nick Sirianni is going to be the head coach for 2027. And a lot of people may say, man, that's a stretch, or how could you feel that way? We've been highly successful. What have you done for me lately? Mm-hmm. Howie Roseman just talked about it. I was listening to, I'm trying to remember, I think it was ahead of the draft, and Howie Roseman was on the Rich Eisen show. Rich Eisen show, yes. And he was basically talking about, yeah, we won the division, and I believe the record was 11-6, but it was like the standard isn't just winning the division. The standard is winning a Super Bowl. That's the standard. So if you take a step backwards from a team production standpoint and don't make the playoffs in 2026, myself, Freddie Coleman, we do not believe that Nick Sirianni is going to be the head coach in 2027. I don't see why that's hard for people to believe, because what this ownership group or owner and Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman has told us over the years, it's what have you done for me lately? Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl as well, too.
2 years later, he was out of a job.
Well, I mean, Harry Douglas is right there. So was Freddie Coleman, his partner on that show. 2 years later, Doug Peterson was out the door. It's funny that we're back to this parallel, because the whole year in 2020, my feeling was, and I think it's similar to what you're saying now, and it was correct, the quarterback's going to be out of here soon, right? The way he was playing, and then they had drafted Hurts before that. But then they also knocked the head coach out of here. I think people were surprised about that. So this time I won't be surprised. I think Sirianni's on the hot seat as we start this season.
I think it was more to that that Doug Peterson story than just him being fired. I think there was something, if I'm not mistaken, they wanted Doug to hire somebody or fire somebody.
Yeah, there was more to it.
Yeah, and Doug refused.
But they also didn't play well.
He stood on business.
Yeah, but they also didn't play well.
But see, I think that's what got Doug fired, was more so the fact that he stood on business and he didn't bow down to what Howie and the other people wanted to do.
Definitely part of it. It was. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Minicamp starts today. Mandatory minicamp. We will air the Nick Sirianni press conference today. I don't think he'll be asked about the hot seat, but I think I'm putting him on the hot seat to start the season. Two out of the last 3 years, I don't think he's done a great job. In the middle, we know what happened. He won the Super Bowl, and that is an incredible accomplishment. But the Eagles don't operate like most teams. Are you putting him on the hot seat to start 2026? Kyle, what are you feeling on Nick Sirianni?
It's hard for my mind to not go back to just as recently as we've done this before. with Doug.
Yep.
And like everything that led up to the 2020 season, just a few years past the Super Bowl, the coach is almost overcommitting to guys that, you know, that he stands in their corner, the Kevin Petullos, the Brian Johnsons, like he puts them in these positions and then they fail. And now you have a revolving door of offensive coordinators, different play callers all the time. You have to bring in somebody basically externally to fix your offense. And now you have this mishmash of, is it too many cooks in the kitchen? It's the Rick Scangarello, the grouping there Rick right before Scangarello. 2020. You remember that, right? And then you have a quarterback that is regressing every year. And with that, you have an organization who probably looks at the head coach and says, what's your role in this? And that was exactly what happened with Doug and Wentz. And that was what we debated all the time. Like, is this Doug? Is it Wentz? They ended up getting both of them out of there because they have a general manager and an owner who are impatient and they understand what kind of window that this Eagles team is in, right? And I think the Eagles look at this differently than other teams. They don't look at it, oh, we have this coach and quarterback. That's the window. They say we have the best general manager in football. We have the ability to assemble some of the best rosters year in and year out of young players. And we know how to spread the money out so that we have a good balance of young players and high paid players. Like they're almost like perpetually in a window where you can take out the coach and quarterback and just and replace those pieces. And I feel like Howie and Lori view that as their window. So like just like we say it's a prove year for Jalen Hurts, it's a prove year for Sirianni too.
I think you're right. The other thing that is you brought up kind of the coaching, all the stuff that was going on in 2020. Hugh, the other part about this, and then right to your phone calls, 215-592-9494, that I think plays into where my head is at this morning is, do they have his replacement next to him in the building?
There's a possibility that's the case.
I mean, it feels like it's like an internship or a ramp up for Mannion to become a head coach. And let's throw this in there, because Mannion is young, never done this, right? All that kind of stuff. He's just finished coaching. Doesn't Fangio saying he might do this for a few more years make having a head coach that's very inexperienced work? Like when McVay got the job in Los Angeles, when Mannion was one of his backup quarterbacks, he had Wade Phillips, right? Like he had his grizzled.
Yeah, I remember Wade. Wade was a good coach.
Yeah, this grizzled defensive coordinator that could handle that side of the ball, so he could just worry about his side. The Eagles have a former head coach that is a legendary defensive coordinator here. So I just view it as they are the last two out of the last 3 years, Sirianni didn't do a great job. And now we go into this year. There's a lot of questions again. The culture stuff is weird. I think I'm putting him on the hot seat. I don't know how the Eagles feel, but I'm putting him on the hot seat to start the season. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. Anthony in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Anthony.
What's up, fellas?
Anthony, what's up?
I'm coming to you, Joe, because you're a big facts guy when you debate with people, but you said a bunch of things that weren't factual today.
Okay, what do you got?
So I'm just going to ask you a couple questions. And I know you didn't know the answer to them. What percentage of teams that lose the Super Bowl make the playoffs the year after?
I'm not sure the percentage. I mean, I know the...
It's not that high.
Yeah, well, or it's certainly not that high to go back to the Super Bowl, and it's probably a big dip.
No, I mean make the playoffs at all. It's like 85% of teams that lose the Super Bowl miss the playoffs the year after.
I'm not sure that's accurate. That feels like a heavy number. I mean, that feels like a heavy number.
Teams that win the Super Bowl, 85%
of teams that lose the Super Bowl miss the playoffs the next year.
Oh, I don't know.
That feels heavy. We'll check. But all right, go ahead.
If I'm a little high on that, I'm closer to it. My next question is though: what are your opinions on Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, and Andy Reid?
Okay, so it's 31% of teams that lose the Super Bowl miss the playoffs the next year. So 85 to 31.
No, make the playoffs.
Yeah,
make the playoffs.
Okay.
Teams that lose the Super Bowl make it back 70% of the time to the playoffs.
70%. So 30% miss. 70%
of Super Bowl. That's
incorrect. Okay.
All right. Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Forget about facts.
All right, let's go. All right, what's your second thing? McVay and who? What'd you say?
McVay, Shanahan, and Reed.
They're great coaches.
Great coaches. What did they do the year after they lost the Super Bowl? Shanahan lost the Super Bowl twice, missed the playoffs twice. McVay lost the Super Bowl once, missed the playoffs. Andy Reid lost the Super Bowl 2 years ago to us, missed the playoffs last year. Not even they can make the playoffs. How can you always say that 2023 was a bad season when Nick Sirianni went 11-6 after losing the Super Bowl? And your number's wrong, so double check it.
Well, hold on, Anthony.
It might be 69.
They were 10-1, and at the end of the season, they couldn't beat the Cardinals at home. You think 2023 was a good season for Nick?
relative to the stats of the NFL where 70% missed the playoffs after losing the Super Bowl, yes, I think that was a successful season.
Yeah, double check. That's right.
So here's my thing. Anthony, and we appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate bringing your facts and numbers to the table. Everything is relative to what it is, right? Like, if there's a Super Bowl team or a Super Bowl winning team or a losing team, and they get decimated by injuries, or their quarterback retires, or blah, 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 their defensive coordinator leaves, like whatever we want to say, right? There's a million different variables. And then they go backwards the next season. There is something that makes a lot of sense to that, right? And then there's other teams that look like they're supposed to be just as good or better. So not everyone is the same. And we'd have to go unpack every single one to look at it. What I know is this. In 2023, coming off of 2022, there was an expectation the Eagles would go a little bit backwards from the year before, but they went far backwards. They went from 14 wins down to 11. I believe their win total before the season, betting win total was 11.5. They dropped to 11 and lost in the first round of the playoffs. And then this past season, they went from super dominant to way back to the pack. Their offense was one of the worst in the NFL. Again, if Nick does well, he should stay. He's a very accomplished coach, and he's done a very good job here in Philadelphia. But like, I have to keep the same feeling towards the coach and the quarterback. I'm not going to give Nick a pass if I don't give Jalen a pass. If Jalen doesn't play well, I think that he's got to be out of here. And if Nick doesn't coach well this year, why would I want to keep Nick Sirianni? So I'm putting them both on the hot seat. I think Nick's on the hot seat to start the season because the things he's in charge of have not been as buttoned up as they should be. If the culture's his thing, I can't have nonsense. If discipline is his thing, I can't have penalties. If he's an offensive guy, I can't have 2 out of 3 years where the offense looks like they can't get a first down. Like, what is he in charge of around here? And if we want to say keeping everyone on the same page, then I will say 1 year, or at least 1 year, 2024, he did an impeccable job. But is that enough to keep your job forever? I don't think it is.
I don't know about keeping your job forever, but I don't feel like this is the year that Coach Sirianni feels the pressure of not being, you know, of losing his job. I feel like more so this is on the quarterback in the way that they've set everything up. I feel like he's done enough. You know, and I know how you're talking about, you know, the culture and guys spitting on people and everything, but for the most part, this team has been
really happened.
Yeah, this team has been really buttoned up as far as the drama is concerned, for the most part.
I don't know. I mean, this offseason doesn't feel like that.
Well, you know, you got Fast and the Furious over here, Tokyo Drift, like my man running
Nolan
around. Yeah. You got that Need for Speed or whatever
Tokyo
you want to call it.
Drift.
Yeah. But outside of that, pretty quiet offseason for the Eagles.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about getting in trouble. I'm talking about nonsense within the team. That's not team stuff.
Yeah, that has been kept in house for the most part.
But hold on. If there's an argument in the house and you don't hear it, it doesn't mean it's a calm house. It just means you didn't hear it. They don't seem to me buttoned up right now. They don't seem that way. Now, maybe with AJ out of here, it goes back, and that'd be great. We shall see.
That's the hope.
Yeah, sure. What is the hope? The quarterback's still here, though, and we got to get him to buy into everything. 215-592-9494. Should Nick Sirianni be on the hot seat as we start 2026? I think he should be. Hugh's not there. Are you putting him on the hot seat? All right, we'll set you up with Hugh's clues. We got a great prize giveaway. Plus, we want to jump off a conversation the morning show had today about Sirianni and AJ. Who you have to hear and you have to hear the message he left. AJ was back, apparently, in the Eagles facility. Left a little message for the team. We'll have that for you next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Now, we're not saying goodbye to Nick yet. He's just on the hot seat. Listen, I put him on the hot seat before 2024. I put him on the hot seat during that season. He responded.
How'd that work out for you?
He responded.
Idiot.
No. I take it as a win. He responded.
Yeah.
And he got off the hot seat. Now I'm putting
him
back on.
You're welcome, everyone.
That's exactly what that is.
Because you have vision.
I do. I'm not kicking Nick Sirianni out, but he is on the hot seat. Is he for you? Midday Show. We're also going to get two-way goodbye from someone we don't like anymore. Apparently he was back in town, had something to say as well. We'll get to that. 215-592-9494. Harry Douglas, former NFL wide receiver, will join us. He thinks Sirianni belongs in the hot seat. He'll join us at 11. We'll get to Christopher Sanchez and Hugh Douglas workshopping his top 11 list for next week's top 11 week
here. I can't wait for this.
I know. Well, I did notice I noticed some growth from Hugh, because when you were out on vacation, Hugh was pushing back when I said Sanchez locked number one. This morning, it seems
like he's wavering.
He's coming around to our
side.
He's
the light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, he's the list I look forward to the most.
Yeah. Well, last year, just destroyed.
Is Andy Dalton going to be on it?
I think so, after yesterday.
I tell you, you guys are just a lot.
If you had a top 15, would you put Dalton on the list?
No.
Top 20?
Mm-mm.
40?
Mm-mm.
I don't believe you. I'll tell you, I don't buy it after yesterday's Dalton stuff. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Should Nick Sirianni be on the hot seat? Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
What's up, Will?
Oh, man, listen. I said the same thing to Kyle. Both of them is in the hot seat. But a lot more Sirianni, right? Because, first of all, I've been saying this for a while. Like, he's not... I don't consider him a coach. You know what I'm saying? Because a coach, first of all, last season, he had it all wrong. He didn't even have a plan for last season. He thought that we was going to be able to run our way back into the Super Bowl like we did in 2022. No, that wasn't going to happen. So what'd he do? That was wrong. That was the first wrong. Mm-hmm. Then he hired this fool, Joe Petullo, whatever his name is, right?
Kevin.
That was another ball.
Yeah, we'll call him Joe.
Jim, Joe, Kevin.
Bobby, whatever his name is.
Yeah, whatever his name is. He couldn't even call a play. He didn't know how to call plays. That was another wrong decision. And the whole thing is, right, the thing that made my heart ache even more is when it was tough decisions during the game time, when Petullo couldn't even come through, that's when a coach really steps up. That's the job of a coach. When a situation's happening during the course of the game, he has to step up and make adjustments. He didn't do any of them things the whole entire season. So I'm just asking, like, are you serious? Like, what are we talking about here? The offensive coordinators for the last three Super Bowls or Super Bowl runs has been the offensive coordinators. Because as we see when they leave, we see what type of team we have, right? So my thing is this, Nick. It's nothing personal. It's only business, brother. It's only business.
That's always what it is. Well, it's just business. I mean, this is football. You know, if you perform, you stay. If you don't, we kick you out of here. That's how this works.
Absolutely, man. And listen, with Jalen, man, I'm going to tell you, bro, your spotlight is really going to be on you now. Because like I said before in the call before, you don't have nobody to blame. Everybody's going to play up to par. You know what I'm saying? So it's up to you to show out and show that, listen, all that AJ stuff is over. Now you're back. But I just want to say this, man. I just hope that offensive line be able to hold up, because I haven't heard any talk about that. And what I know Jalen needs, he's going to need a good offensive line so he can have some time in that pocket to deliver them.
All right, Will, and Saquon, too. I mean, I think it is the most and Will, good phone call, man. Will's going to be ready for the season. Will's having a big summer. I can feel it already. But yeah, the offensive line, Hugh, was a huge issue last year.
Yeah, it was a problem.
And look, they're all healthy today, but they basically are the same group as last year. And you just wonder about guys that have been off injured. Can they get healthy all of a sudden and stay healthy? Lane missed a lot of time, couldn't even get back for the playoff game. Dickerson and Cam Jurgens, where'd they go? They went to like South America to get their backs fixed or whatever.
Yeah.
Columbia, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, so let's just cross our fingers and hope they're the guys they used to be. But we'll find out when this season starts. All right. Hugh, this morning when I was driving in, a heated conversation, good one on the morning show, about Nick Sirianni, but really specifically, how much blame does he deserve for the AJ thing and how it went last season? Where do you come down? I mean, it was, again, it's almost like we removed him even though he's the head coach. This is what we always do with Nick Sirianni. We just remove him until it's like we can't avoid talking about him. Like, the whole AJ thing happened all year. How much blame do you think he deserves for allowing it to happen?
I'll say this. At the end of the day, you hope that the guys in the locker room, especially guys that have won together, are able to handle situations like this like men. So as far as the blame goes, as far as that situation, I don't put too much blame on him. Now, when you talk about the culture and say, for instance, if these stories are true about AJ being the monster that, you know, the media, well, the story tried to say that he was. Now that's
Even think we need the media. He told us. He did it all on purpose.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the story that was written about Jalen being, you know, uncoachable.
Jalen.
Yeah.
Because AJ told us what he did.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about that part. Now, I think Nick is culpable for that part. But as far as two grown men trying to hash something out, I don't hold him accountable for that. I don't, because there's been a lot of reckless speculation about what happened in this situation between AJ and Jalen. If that's the case, there's nothing, because the coach is not going to know all the information about the situation. There's nothing he can really do about that. That's on AJ and Jalen if that story is true.
Well, it is, but does he have no role in it? Like, I guess.
I would say the role would be, hey, you guys need to figure out how to make this work on Sunday. Because here's the reality. When I played, there were teammates that I really didn't get along with. We got along on Sunday. We got along on Sunday fine. And I've told many stories about having beef with my teammates and almost getting my wig split by Brian Mitchell before a game. But when Sunday came around, I apologized and we went out there and we won the game, because that meant more than anything. Trying to get that win meant more than anything. So that's the era that we came from.
So, all right, let me ask you this question. I go, because one of the things Sirianni should be good at and should hold its, you know, kind of hang his hat on is game management, right? Like, he's not calling plays. He's not in charge of a side of the ball. So game management. Remember how the Packers game ended last year, where they were on the other side of the 50 and it was 30 seconds to go and they're up a couple points, right? It's a very tight game, and it was a fourth down, right? And they could have chose to punt the football and try to pin the Packers. Instead, they went for it. Remember when Jalen bombed it down the field to AJ, incomplete, and it gave the Packers a chance to go get a long field goal. Ultimately, they missed the field goal. Eagles still win the game. But I remember coming in here losing my mind at Sirianni, because I just thought that was a ridiculous decision, right? Punt the ball, and if you throw short. And then what did Devontae say after the game? We do what 1-11 wants to do, right? Yeah. Remember, there was a camera that panned to Sirianni, and he kept saying, why?
Yeah.
So, like, he just let them do that and doesn't, like, what, how does he let that happen? And then what is the repercussion? If he didn't want that play and he's the head coach, then they just did it on their own, whether it was all Jalen or Jalen because AJ was barking for the ball or whatever, he just lets it go. Like, that to me is a problem.
You know what it is, Joe? And you've reiterated this a few times when we've had this conversation, because I've been adamant on, if that's the case, call the quarterback out. And you've been adamant about not doing that because it would cause a rift. That's exactly what Coach Sirianni did. He took that bullet.
He takes it all the time.
He does, because that's, like, at the end of the day, that's what a good head coach does. He covers for you.
But if it happens too often, do you respect him anymore? If you know what he says not to do and you just do it, like, then where's the respect?
Well, now you're starting to understand what I've been trying to say for the last couple of days. That's why this is on Jalen, because if all of that stuff is true, you got a new coordinator in here that's going to run things his way. And if it's not being ran his way, then they're going to call the quarterback out. You have somebody that has no ties to anybody in that building. Mm. His job is to try to make this offense better. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he wants to build his resume.
Of course he does.
He wants to build. So why the hell you think he's going to take a chance? If Jalen out there taking penitentiary chances, throwing the ball all willy-nilly all over the place, you think he's going to hitch his wagon to that horse? No. He's gonna call it like he sees it. That's why Andy Dalton is the number two, and that's what I was trying to tell you yesterday. If the quarterback is not doing...
Doubling down!
If the quarterback
Hugh Douglas says,
is
Ben
not
Chandler.
Running the offense the way that it's supposed to be ran, he's going to have somebody in there who might be a lesser talent that's going to run the offense.
This is my new favorite WIP summer bit, that Hugh says they're going to bench Jalen.
Like, I'm not saying
that.
I love it.
I tell you, you and Kyle, no, I can't stand neither one of y'all.
You brought it up again.
No, what do you want us to do when you say it?
I didn't say it. See, I didn't say
that. You're blaming us for you saying it.
I'm saying if, and because that's how
this is all
hypothetical. That's the world we're living in.
That's how this thing for me is lining up.
This is all make-believe here.
Yeah, this is how it's lining up for me.
Okay. All right. Before we go any further, one of the issues last year was obviously the wide. No, there's no hot. Obviously, the wide receiver. Excuse me. All right. A.J. Brown is out of here. Apparently, he came back, though. A.J. Brown back in the building last week.
Which is odd.
To collect his belongings and also leaving a message. Let's listen to this. Mike Garofolo with a story on A.J. Brown returning to the Eagles and the message he left behind.
Let me add this part. So, A.J. Brown closed the chapter on his time in Philadelphia because he was there at the facility last week. I believe it was Thursday. He was there to pick up some stuff at the facility and say his goodbyes.
Which is odd.
On the walls there, they have pictures of Pro Bowl players. And AJ signed his. They have the players sign it. So he signed it. And then from what I was told, he then added, "The best to ever play here, always open." Now, that signature is going to stay up on the wall. They may have to edit out the message as well. But no hard feelings or anything like that. It's just he had his affinity for the time that he played in Philadelphia, and they still love him. There's still a lot of love for him inside that building. And I'll also, all right, let me also hit the other elephant now. This talk of what's happening and why the trade happened, and A.J. Brown and Hassan Reddick, and you've seen it probably on social media. I talked to Big Dom about this, okay? And Big Dom knows what's happening in that entire building, and he was adamant that that is not true. There is no truth to that part. That Hassan Reddick is no longer an Eagle because Hassan Reddick wanted a huge payday. And A.J. Brown is no longer an Eagle for reasons that have nothing to do with what's circulating online. He could not have been more adamant. That story is complete and utter bupkis. So we can at least turn the page on that part of everything here as A.J. Brown heads to New England and reboots. And who knows? Maybe he'll be the best ever play in Foxborough. We'll write it on the wall.
All right. Well, a couple of things to unpack there. So he showed up last Thursday, collected his belongings before they actually traded him away. Or I guess it could have been after. I'm not sure.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Timeline. Last Thursday before. Thursday would be a couple days ago, and then that would be after the trade. In New England.
I thought so, too.
Yeah. Whatever. He got his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The second part, this guy has to have some nerve to go and write
Stones.
The best to ever play here, always hoping. And I know Garofalo is saying they're going to leave it up. Take the picture down. Like if I'm Jalen Hurts, I got to walk by that every day after he didn't want to play with me anymore? The best to ever play here?
Well,
take the photo down.
I do know, like, everybody signed their picture. Like, the guys that are here, like, they'll come
here.
In. Well, when the guys that are still with us on, you know, they're not in the upper room.
Oh.
Most of those guys, when they come in, if they've been in the Pro Bowl and in the wall, they just sign it. You know, like, because I signed it.
You mean like when you no longer are an Eagle, you sign it?
Yeah, like if you sign your picture. Like, most of the time, you sign it. Like, if you're Pro Bowler, you sign it.
Well, I'm okay with his signature, but the best to ever play here?
Well, I mean, that's kind of odd. You know what else is kind of odd? For if the timeline matches up and he came back after he went to New England. It's kind of weird to go back to the team that you used to play for your stuff.
Did you ever have to go back and get things?
Man, I didn't go back. I said, like, they packed that stuff up. I was about to say something. Pack that stuff up and send it to me. I don't need to be in that building because I'm not trying to see anybody. I wasn't like when I left Jacksonville. I was like, y'all, whatever.
You didn't stop into Del Rio's office and shake his hand?
Oh no, I stopped in and was like, hey man, let's make this quick. And you know, I gotta go. And I left. And I did not go back in the locker room. And you know, I just left, and they raided my locker. I remember that. They took my Creed cologne. I had some nice little Creed cologne, and they ransacked it. They ransacked my locker. And I was like, cool, it's okay.
22 years later, still bitter over the cologne.
Yeah, I'm a little bitter over that Creed. Oh, man, a little bitter.
All right, so you're okay with that on the wall? That's ridiculous to me.
I mean, but
the best ever play here.
That tracks with AJ and how he feels about himself. I just think it's, like, if he came back after he went to New England, after everything he said, I think that's kind of bold. That's the thing I thought was kind of bold.
But if he came back before the trade to collect his stuff, it's a bad look for you would hold the line because then he was taking his stuff because he was about to be traded.
I think he came back a couple times. If that story is correct, because it was reported.
Was one more. Yeah,
remember he stopped.
So he came back a couple times.
Yeah. He came back that one Friday when
nobody was
there
in the building. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean for hold the line?
Jalen didn't drink the water yet. So
yeah, it was a wrap.
But okay.
Yeah, Hurts hadn't sipped the water yet.
That is true. He had not done that. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we go any further, here we do have a great prize to give away today. And I know a lot of people didn't get a chance to win it yesterday because it was a very difficult clues yesterday. one of the more difficult ones.
I feel the hate.
Well, it's not hate. It's just more of a being realistic here. We do have another pair of tickets today, though, to the Mailata Family Foundation launch concert featuring a musical performance by Jordan Mailata Thursday, June 11th, Stateside Live in Philadelphia. For more information, visit statesidelive.com or win their that pair right here by playing Hughes Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue. It begins with a tramp stamp. Everybody's looking for Hughes Clues. Come on in, come on in. Hughes Clues. It's Hughes Clues and you.
I think I'm going to throw y'all a bone today. I made this kind of easy. I made it kind of easy. So, but you just got to play along. And, you know, there's going to be a little numbers game that you're going to be a part. But, I mean, I think it's fairly easy. The first clue is this is an Oscar-winning actor. This actor has won an Oscar.
Cool. That's it? There's a lot of Oscars.
That's it. I said it's a numbers it's game. I did say it's a numbers game.
We're making progress. No, it could have just been actors.
You know what? I'm sorry. You did help the people more today than usual. All right.
I said Oscar.
Oscar. Oscar. That's for movies, correct? That's not,
yes.
Not like when...
Godzilla won a Grammy.
No, Godzilla won Oscar.
Well, he didn't specifically.
Godzilla won Oscar.
I've watched a lot of the Academy Awards.
I saw him walk back into the ocean with the award.
Die on this
try to play
hill.
That guy off the stage with the music.
Yeah, wrap it up, yeah. B. Wrap it up.
He says no. What are you going to do about it? All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Anthony in Jersey's up on WIP. Anthony?
Hey.
What up, man?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Anthony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. Hey, Nick Sirianni on the hot seat, man. I believe he got to go. After this year, if this year turns out to be bad, man, he got to go. He got to go, man. We lost Jeff Stoutland on his watch.
Mm.
The season after we won the Super Bowl, we collapsed. A.J. Brown didn't respect him. If our offensive coordinator is good, next year he's gone. And Sirianni needs to be gone. What does he do here? Michael Irvin, he hasn't referred, but Michael Irvin said something about the same thing with Seth Joyner said, that you had a wide receiver with his talent, man, and it was on the head coach to figure that out, and he didn't. Culture set around here is not as... Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I think that's an interesting point. Like they had A.J. Brown. They signed him twice. They didn't really want to let him go. And it got so bad that he wanted out of here. And if Sirianni's the culture guy, Anthony, he couldn't figure that out. It's a shame.
Yes, and people would like to... they would like to refer back to T.O. and Andy Reid. Lost T.O. in a year and a half. Just like you had alluded to that, if he didn't like guys, or guys probably didn't like him, but Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, we came together to get that dub. So I believe that if we would have paid T.O., his differences off the field would have not mattered on the field. T.O. would have still showed up and played.
I agree, Anthony.
T.O. ain't quit on us.
Yeah, the front office lost T.O. from the way I felt. Like the money. It was the contract. It was the money.
They drew a hard line.
Right, it was the contract.
Yeah, yep, they did. All right, Anthony, what do you got for us? What's your guess for Hughes Clues? An Oscar-winning actor.
The first one that came to my mind, I don't know why, was Leonardo DiCaprio.
It's a good guess.
That's a good guess.
I mean, obviously an Oscar-winning actor, but that is not it. Anthony, good phone call. All right, Anthony said something there that I did not bring up earlier. I think it's an interesting point. A good one. Well, I mean, if we're going through the ledger of the good, the bad for Sirianni and kind of where we put him on the hot seat or not, you know, it does seem like the differences in philosophy between Sirianni, Petullo, and Jeff Stoutland is part of the reason Jeff Stoutland left. I mean, if this offensive line goes backwards this year, which I have no idea if Chris Cooper can coach. I hope he can coach. If he's great, wonderful. But they lost the best offensive line coach in the NFL and the best offensive line coach they ever had. That's not a good look for Sirianni that he didn't want to coach anymore on his staff. It's not a good look.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you talk about Coach Stoutland and how he's revered here in Philadelphia.
Yes, they love
by
him.
All the players. But, I mean, and this is not a but, like, you know, they did the right thing, but they felt like they wanted to move in a different direction.
But it better work.
And I feel like part of this was a part of the full autonomy that was promised to the OC.
You might be right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. I feel like that was part of it. And when you talk about what I remember about this Kyle Shanahan offense is that there's a lot of athleticism amongst the guards and the tackles mm-hmm. and pulling and everything. So maybe that's what it was. Not saying that Coach Stoutland couldn't have done that, because I think he could have. And when you talk about some of the guys that have come through here the short time that I've been here and have played well, I think that was one of the caveats for Coach Mannion when he came in, that he wanted – to have his guys come in with him.
Well, and they did. They brought someone he's familiar with from his time in Minnesota. 215-592-9494. Coming up, hit everyone's phone calls. Your guesses for Hughes Clues, pair of tickets to the Milana concert, an Oscar-winning actor, your first clue today. We will also talk to Harry Douglas next. He has Sirianni on the hot seat, too. We'll get his take on that. The new offense, A.J., Devontae, and more coming up. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you could trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. On Kalshi, you could trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. Right now, and they've moved up a little bit here, they have changed where they are on their percentages. Portugal is trading at 10.4% to win it all, which means a $100 trade pays out $962 if they win the whole thing. On Kalshi, you're trading against peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. As the probability changes, which it does all the time, day to day, hour to hour, you could buy in and out of your position. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.